Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
The message this morning, I'm excited to share, a little nervous to share, because it involves a little personal story where I'm going to look really silly, which is not always fun. But you know what? I always say, I'm not in the youth room, so I should be careful. I'm going to say it anyway. I'll whisper it to you guys. Crap grows crops. It's fertilizer, right? So the muck and junk sometimes we go through can be used in our testimony to have the crops grow. Forgive my language for the, but in the youth room it flies, you know, they enjoy that. Before we jump into the meat of the message, there's something I want to preliminary do, and that is look at Proverbs 14, verse 12. I love Proverbs. It's probably the book of the Bible that I've read the most. It was the first book I ever read fully through because I always tried to start in the beginning of the Bible when I was younger. And once I got to the son of, 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 I would fall asleep. As like, you know, 8 years old, you're like, whoa, it's a lot of sons. So I asked my dad one day, I was like, are you supposed to read it from the beginning to the end in order? And he's like, you can, but you don't have to. But son, go read Proverbs. And ever since then, I've just always come back to it, read it a few times a year. And it's a good reminder, the book of wisdom, something we all need. But chapter 14, verse 12, there is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Excellent. Excellent. That sounds fantastic. Great. I think I'm going the right way. And it seems that way. And when I don't have the overhead point of view, I don't realize what's at the end of that road. And there's other places in Scripture, in Proverbs as well. Chapter 3. 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So see, that helps us with that previous verse I read. The one that seems right to us, and we're going down that path, but it leads to death. But when we submit to him and his will, his rule, his reign, he shows us the way, the right path. And when we don't lean on our own understanding, how many of you in here know everything? If you're married, you definitely are reminded on a daily basis, right? No, I'm messing around. There should be no husband in here who raised their hand during that. I'm just saying. Oh, okay. No. But really, lean not on our own understanding. Because that first verse I read, in our own understanding, the path seems right. And what I've seen more times, more frequently in the age of knowledge, in the age of knowledge in your hand, right? We can look up anything, anytime, anywhere. Don't have to go to the library. Don't have to find the encyclopedia. Don't have to find the encyclopedia that has the right letter to letter to find the thing you want to find. I am old enough to have gone through that. And then right around that middle school age is when it all transitioned to the computers. So I do remember I had to get the encyclopedia out, know how to spell it, try to look for it, and then occasionally, they don't have it. Well, I guess it's a mystery. Never going to know. But really, in this day and age, there's so many things that we can look up and see, and all of a sudden, what we start to do is we start to take the knowledge of somebody else, the knowledge of something we read, the knowledge of a podcast, the knowledge of Google, the knowledge of ChatGPT, the knowledge of whatever thing we decide to look to, and we start to use that to help us filter this. And now it's not just our own understanding, it's someone else's understanding. But by the same scripture verse, your understanding is no better than mine. Maybe on certain topics, especially Joe. Wrestling? Yeah, absolutely. I don't know a thing about it. Wrestled at Iowa. So yeah, there's certain things in a worldly sense. You rely on other people's understanding. But when we start to watch the cool, fun reels, TikToks, videos, this person's hot take on this Bible verse, and we start to apply that to our life, I want you to know something. You're not applying scripture. You're applying somebody else's what seems right. And so when we look at scripture and what we do and how we're supposed to live, we need to apply scripture to our life. His word. And if we're going to dive into that knowledge and understand more about it, it's not just somebody else's opinion I'm going to seek. There is nothing wrong with wise counsel, because also in Proverbs, a wise man seeks the counsel of many. But when I take in somebody's opinion, I don't all of a sudden say, all right, write it down as Proverbs chapter 32, and it becomes part of the gospel. No. I test it against the scripture. I look at the counsel of many. I look at another opinion. I look at these things. And the reason I say this is because what has become a habit, become a thing of God's people, which should not be, is that when we look at scripture, we look at the parts we want and we use it to fit our lives, not shape our lives to fit it. And this is an important distinction to be made, because we need to be careful, because we are not right. We are wrong. When it comes to debates with other people and this and that, and whatever it is, there's a person that's right and a person that's wrong and all this stuff. But the moment we try to debate with God, we lost. And I'm not saying the struggle and the fight we have with him sometimes, Jacob wrestling with God. I'm not saying there isn't times where we wrestle and we struggle, but when his word says something is right and wrong, or the way we're to live, or what we're supposed to do, because there's a point of faith, right? We know this. Faith without action is dead. Faith isn't, it's not just this belief like Disney does, right? Believe in yourself. Or belief in some of these things. Belief, as scripture is clear, belief, faith, well, I believe in God. The way that belief means the same thing as in here is when that belief is backed by what you do. Action. It's not saying good works gets me into heaven, no. But if you truly believe in God, you truly believe in his word, you will do what it says. We will not lean upon our own understanding, but rather we will trust in God and his word. So this is where can I be vulnerable with you and tell you a very embarrassing story? Yeah, of course, my dad. Yes, absolutely. So yesterday, I decided, beautiful day, right? Beautiful day yesterday. And I want to get outside as much as anybody, but my wife is very much I need to be outside to be happy, to enjoy life, get the sun on her skin, right? Being trapped, cooped inside, especially because she's pregnant. Oh, yes. Yes, praise the Lord. For those that know, last summer was difficult. We had a miscarriage, but God is faithful. We're in the second trimester. We've told some family and friends. I told the youth, but I figured I'd slip it in there for you guys. I, you know, But really, she enjoys being outside, and it's healthy for her physically and mentally. And it's healthy for me when she gets outside. Oh, no. But so I planned it that the first really, really nice day of the year, I'm going to do the honey-do list. What do you need me to do? Let's do it. One of those things was our vehicle, her vehicle, is overdue for an oil change. Well, I married a gal who used to do her own oil changes. Or when she says used to do her own, she'd take it to her brother's and watch. No, I'm kidding. She would change her own oil, but she'd take it to her brother's. Come from a family that you're not paying for that. Do it yourself. Amen. That's what he said. Amen. So I'm like, all right, watch a video. Let's do it. Change the oil. I'm game. I get out there. I was done in 20 minutes. I was like, let's go. This is great. Got it done. Knocked off some of the other honey-do stuff. Sweet. I'm feeling good. I got up that morning. I got dressed. My wife's like, if you're going to change the oil, you need to wear something else other than your nicer pants. And I wasn't wearing that nice pants, but I was like, I'm going to put on my Carhartt bibs. Trust me. I know. I know the role. So I had to rip the tag off, and no, I'm kidding. Oh, I'm just kidding. But they're not as worn as, some. But I put them on. I go out there at 20 minutes. Then later that day, we decided we were going to go out quick, pick something up, come back home. Get in the vehicle, turn it on. What is that noise? That sounds terrible. Okay, interesting. Turn it off. Check the oil. I know. I checked it after I filled it too, and there was a lot of oil. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's just got to settle. It's just got to settle. I don't know. You know, well, we'll come back. Maybe, you know, the vehicle just put it in. I don't know. My first time changing my own oil in a car. I've done my motorcycle. That was no problem. Had no flaws, except I overfilled it because I forgot it was leaning. But then it's just drained. It was fine. No big deal. Did my motorcycle. I'm thinking car's got to be easier than a motorcycle. Well, maybe motorcycle's easier because it's easier to get to. Beside the point. So she's like, well, okay, well, the sticker from where we last took it said OW20. You put OW16. I was like, okay, not the end of the world. I don't even know how we got the wrong oil because we bought this weeks ago because we planned on doing it. And, of course, put it off and then. Yada, yada. So I'm like, okay, we'll just drain. I'll just change the oil again. So I change the oil again. Turn it on. Sounds worse. Well, this ain't good. All right, Google, ChatGPT, help me out here. Because the last thing I wanted to do, I mean, not the last thing I want to do because I do this all the time, but is call my brother-in-law, Morgan. That dude, I can't tell you how many times he saved my butt during things. And you know the best part about it? He doesn't make me feel bad. He teaches me, and he doesn't tell anybody. But in this moment, I'm like, an oil change? Really? You got to call him over an oil change? You watched the video. Come on. So I'm like, oh, man, okay. Turn it off. I'm looking stuff up. I'm like, oh, no, what? And now my wife, my wonderful, beautiful, amazing, perfect wife is starting to say things because, again, she knows how to change the oil in a car. She grew up in a family that knows how to fix everything themselves. And so now the manhood is being threatened here. And so I'm like, okay, no, I'm gonna fix this. I'm going to do this. I get under the car. And, you know, there was signs along the way. The video said it was a 14-millimeter socket that you needed on the 2015 Nissan Pathfinder. When I got under there, I was like, why does it look different? And why isn't it 14-millimeter? Maybe mine's just different. Well, come to find out, guys, I flushed the transmission. And And my wife's like, well, couldn't you tell by the color? I said, you saw it. It was like black. It looked just like oil. It's supposed to be this reddish brown or whatever. No, it looked black. I don't know. And maybe that's a sign of another thing wrong. Please stop me before we leave today. But really, I'm like, okay, whatever. Whatever. We're under there, and she's looking under there. Yes, my pregnant wife was under the vehicle looking at the... She's like, the oil pan's over here. I was like, oh. And the 14-millimeter socket fit just right. So now I'm changing the oil correctly. And you bet I texted my brother-in-law, Morgan, at that point. I was like, hey, are you up to something? I feel like he knows. If you went back in my history of texting him, when I asked that, he knows that I should just get in the car. So now I'm changing the oil right. I'm doing all this. My wife had gone inside, and I'm upset. Manhood being threatened. She made a few more. Nothing. She didn't do anything wrong. Understand this. She wasn't making comments that were mean or derogatory. Us prideful men, when we're threatened, take everything wrong. So, you know, when your manhood's threatened and you got to exert manhood and do it the right way, what do? You kick the trash can. It's a plastic trash can. It snapped in half and cut my leg. Okay, great. We're doing good today. I'm running around. Now I got to open the transmission tube, which you got to get the whatever it's called, the to get stuff in there, which, yeah, it's this big around. So now I got to go buy a new funnel. Well, first I tried to jimmy rig a tube thing, and that's not relevant, actually. Doing all this stuff, and I'm running around. I got to get a screwdriver. I'm sprinting. I come around the vehicle. Whack! Trailer hitch to the knee. There's a punching bag in my garage, and it was swinging yesterday. I'm telling you what, I just was just hopping. It's hurting today. I probably fractured my shin or knee. I don't know. But it's hurting. I'm doing all this. I put the pan back underneath there, and it's not a normal oil pan. It's a pan we just use to drain this stuff. I start changing the oil, and then it hits me. The oil that I put in, I did put it in the right spot, mind you, okay? I do know where oil goes. I'm sure. Why? Because the pan overflowed. Oil's pouring on the garage floor. Well, I'm trying to slide it out. It's spilling some more. I pick it up, bump it, tip all over my pants and my white shoes. Because guess who didn't put on their bibs when they figured, oh, I'm just going to change it again quick. I didn't spill last time. So now the nice pants that I had just gotten and the white Hoka tennis shoes that I had, oil. Run to O'Reilly's, and you got to get CVT transmission fluid. You can't get any other kind. You get NS3 because it's a Nissan, yeehaw, all this different stuff. Oh, of course, it's the most expensive kind there, too. Oh, but they only have 4 quarts. Okay, so I Google it quick. Oh, yeah, if you need to add transmission fluid, you only need 2 to 3 quarts, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but if you flush your transmission, you need 12 to 16 quarts. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I flushed it. I probably flushed it. There's a good chance. I drained that thing twice. It's flushed. Anyway, I leave. I go to Walmart, nothing. Go to Tyson's, nothing. I go back to O'Reilly's. Please tell me you have more in the back, please. Otherwise, this vehicle ain't moving until I get some. They had some, and Morgan got there. And at that point, I did know what I needed to do, okay? I want you to know that. I figured it out, obviously, but it was good to be supervised. And he helped me out because he showed up and he's like, so you put the oil in the transmission? I said, no. I'm not that dumb. Come on. At that point, I told him, I said, I think my parents just never told me that I was different. They always said I was special. I didn't know they meant this. Okay. No, but again, helped me out, didn't tell anybody. He's a good guy, and we got it done, took it for a drive. Everything's great. Woke up this morning, looked leaking, but it's fine. I'm sure it's just going to be okay. No, I'll mess around. But I tell you this story, okay, because it applies directly to what I want to talk about. Lean not on your own understanding. You watch the video, you read the word, but it took a guy who knew how to do it and does it again and again. Morgan, he works on the big heavy equipment. Most of my in-laws do. He's done this since he was in diapers. He's known how to do this. This is everything he does. He does it and does it and does it and does it. And so for him, he doesn't need the video. He doesn't need all this stuff. He is guided by the experience and the knowledge that he has. And when we look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Just wanted to make my wife happy. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. See, I was guided by my own knowledge and pride of, I think I know how to do this, and I took some guy's opinion from online. And now you see where that got me. So if you see me limping, you know why. Both legs are messed up today. But you see, somebody who is not in the need of all these things, they experience it from the direct source. Quit going to everybody else to feed your spiritual life. Go to the source. And understand, when we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, a DUI you do want. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and what it looks like and how our lives change and what we do is different and our intentions now aren't just these good intentions that we have because we think we understand this or we saw a cool video of somebody saying this and this and this and this. It's not that. It's going to the source and spending time with God and being in His Word, Not somebody else's word, His Word. Yes, our testimony, wise counsel, all these things, there is room for it, but it is not the foundation of the church. It is not the foundation of your life. You'll end up with oil all over your spiritual garage. It was a stretch, but I'm trying to make it work. But really, we cannot rely on our own understanding. Because even in my own understanding, even though I've read the Word, even though I grew up in church all my life, even though I've been to church probably more days than I've not been at church, I've heard more sermons than I probably will ever remember, even though I've done all of this. Guess what? Brock's understanding is still special. It is not to be relied on. If somebody comes and talks to me, if somebody meets with me, somebody, I tell them up front, I say, I love you. I don't know where you're at in life, but I want you to know any advice I give you, it's coming from the Word of God. I'm going to give you biblical principles for what I say. I'm going to share this with you because guess what? If you came to me for advice and you said, don't use the Bible, you're just going to get drool. That's all you're going to get. I don't know. I don't know what to do. Don't ask me. Go to the source and spending time in His Word and knowing God, having Him be the foundation. And yes, again, I'm not villainizing. I'm not evilizing wise counsel or the podcasts or books that are not the Bible but encourage our faith. I'm not villainizing any of that. But do not live off of that. That is not the food. That is not the cornerstone of the church. That is not meant to be the cornerstone of your temple, of who you are. We cannot lean on our own understanding. Because when we do, when we read this, and it gets to the end down here, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. This is what I was talking about. We use the third-party stuff, and we use the fancy videos of people that even call themselves Christians or people of faith, and they try to break it down, or they try to give you an opinion on this, rather than understanding the context of which it was written, all the surrounding scripture verses that connect to it, and going back to the Old Testament, all these things. They'll just scribble out the whole page, circle this part, and say, see, the law means nothing. You don't need the law. That's not what it's talking about. The law is still important to instruct us on how we are to live. What it's talking about is the condemnation of the law. The law of Moses didn't have Jesus Christ in it. Do you understand? It doesn't mean the Old Testament is null and void. It doesn't mean that we just need the New Testament Bibles. It doesn't mean that we only read this in the life of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament is important, proven worthy, and it is God-breathed. How it applies to our life, that's a whole nother message, okay? And I don't want to do that to you today. But it does apply to our life and understanding these things and giving us greater context of what we need for our life. So see, if we lean on our own understanding or the opinions of others, they'll look at this and see, you don't need the law. You don't need this stuff. Stuff in the Old Testament that's talked about, you don't have to do that. You don't have to, that's not what it's saying. It's saying when we live by the Spirit, when we do these things, when you are directed by the Spirit, you are no longer trapped by condemnation. You don't have to go get your goat and burn it as a sacrifice or kill it. You are not under the same law of justification. You're not under the same law of making it right with God. Jesus came and made a way. So when we are directed by the Spirit, we don't have to walk in condemnation. Why? Because there's something really important that we have to understand. It says when we walk by the Spirit, not when we walk and try not to do bad things. What do you focus on in your Christian life? Do you focus on, well, I'm really trying not to sin? Or do you focus on, I'm really trying to live for God? Your whole perspective and psychology will be jacked up if you just go around trying not to do the wrong thing. When I got married, guess what? That's what I tried to do. It didn't work. Walk around, well, okay, I can't. I'm not going to do that. Oh, I'm not going to do that. No, just do the things that are right. Focus on what God called us to do, how he instructed us, what we're to do. I got to be careful with the wording here. I don't want to be taken out of context about any of this, okay? But we get so sin obsessed. We get so obsessed with sin in our life. And yes, we want to eradicate sin from our life. We want to, but we're free from sin because of Jesus. We are free to live how he called us to live because of Jesus. And we get so wrapped up in, I'm trying not to sin, trying not to sin, trying not to sin, trying not to sin, that we are forgetting that our relationship with God has more to it. We're not just called to avoid sin, but to advance the kingdom of God. This is a selfish Christianity, just worried about ourselves. And as long as I get to heaven, but it's not what we're called to do. And understand this. When we do what we're called to do, as it says, walk by the Spirit, what does it say will happen? We will not do the things of sinful nature. So what we're trying to do is change the oil. We're trying to not sin. But by trying to not sin, we're not doing what God called us to do, where it says we will avoid the sin. We're doing it wrong. And when you flush the transmission, guess what? You start it up, put it in drive, it don't move. And when you're trying to flush your system of the wrong things, but you're not doing it according to his word and how he says to do it, you're not going to move. The needle of your spiritual life will not move. You'll be stuck in the cycle. I call it the salvation blender. I go to church, I repent, ask for salvation, then I go about my week and I just sin all week long, and then I come back and I ask for salvation and I repent, and then I keep. There's nothing wrong with repentance, and there's nothing wrong with continuously seeking God's grace and mercy. Again, I'm trying to be careful in how I explain this. I don't want to be taken out of context. I'm not belittling justification and God's Jesus' sacrifice for us or any of these things. They're necessary things for our life and to seek. But the way we go about living our life, if you really want to be free from sin, if you really want to live a life glorifying to God, do exactly that. Put your faith into action. Quit just focusing on what not to do. Focus on what to do. Because he doesn't call us to just sit and introspect and journal about our life and write down what we're struggling with and all these habits and the things that we're trying to do. None of that is inherently evil, but what we are called to do is walk by the Spirit. What we're called to do is make disciples of all nations, serve one another, outdo one another in love and good works. Because if all I do is sit here in my faith bubble, building it up and saying I believe in God, but in reality, I'm not actually putting that faith into action, your belief is worthless. To believe in something, there's a proof that comes with that. If I truly believe, if I truly believe that this is where the oil is, I will unscrew that drain thing. Yeah, you can tell I know what I'm talking about. And I will let it drain, not once, but twice. I proved my belief. Now, obviously, I was wrong in this sense, but you see, if you truly believe it, then go ahead. Step out of the boat. Go ahead. Go talk to that person. Go ahead and pray like you believe. Preach the gospel like you believe. See, the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say. If I believe that, then I will not be afraid of not knowing what to say when I minister to somebody. See, our belief put into action, being led by the Spirit. You want to battle sin. You want to feed the spiritual side of you, not the carnal and the flesh side of you, then you will do. You will do what his word says. You will not think that, oh, it doesn't apply to me, and I'm free to do as I want, because if I have the Spirit, then the law doesn't apply to me. That is out of context and not what it means. Understanding faith without action is dead. It also says, another great, deeper of example of this, in Scripture, it says that if you do not bridle your tongue, your religion is worthless. Show up to church, tithe, do all the things, but I do not bridle my tongue. My religion is worthless. Again, it is putting what God called me to do into action, bridling my tongue, so that my faith, my belief is proven, is seen, is a good witness and testimony. And in doing so, the sinful nature gets easier to combat. Doing the right thing over and over again, not just, oh, well, I watched a spiritual TikTok, so I'm good today. That means I know how to live like a Christian. Yeah, that's me watching a YouTube video thinking I know how to change oil. It's not how it works. Live by the Spirit. Walk with the Spirit. Focus on what He has called us to do. If you would, stand up with me all over this room. God has a plan for His kingdom, the expansion of His kingdom. Not just here in Sparta, but around the world, as we heard this morning. We are to be a part of that. We are to do that. We are to submit to His will. It's just what we're called to do. So God wants to give you something. Maybe there is a special calling for your life or a vision or a ministry that you're supposed to do and be a part of, whatever it is. But I'll tell you what we're all called to do is have our lives a personal ministry to those around us. So we need to make sure that we're living out that calling. And in doing so, I'll tell you what, idle hands are the devil's workshop. But when my hands are busy doing the Lord's work, I have a lot less time to mess around.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.